With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome back to Ryer on YouTube, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal. Travis Ryer alongside Evan Ryer. We are fresh from Buffalo, where we were both brutalized by the Bills
tenderized.
On Monday night. Evan, that was an experience unlike any I've encountered. Well, at least going back to maybe a college football road trip I took in the late 90s. When the Alabama Crimson Tide was absolutely savaged by the Arkansas Razorbacks in Fayetteville, 40-6. It had that kind of feel to it. But the chicken wings were good, Evan.
They were very good. Barbell was as good as advertised. I only ate leftovers, and that was fantastic. And that was the best part of the trip. pretty much
Gabriel's Gate, shout out.
Gabe's Gate was great too. And Jack's Corner Cafe also saw the little breakfast spot. But overall, yeah, just a really, really rough visit. I mean, you couldn't think of like a worse. I don't mean this in terms of like they're a bad fan base, but if you're gonna go up there and embarrass yourself,
yeah,
like there's probably nowhere else I'd rather not like. We probably would have had an easier time with opposing fans in Philly, like if the Jags had lost like that, because Buffalo was all about it. You know, we've been their bogey team. We always seem to beat them. And this was prime time Monday night football, and the Jaguars didn't show up.
They did not
get on the plane. And apparently they could barely get on the plane on the way back because the mechanical issues. So, it was extremely depressing. I tried to hold out hope throughout the first half, kept saying little jokes like, well, you know, if we score three touchdowns with two extra points or whatever, all that math.
Yeah.
But we all knew that this team, like really from the opening drive, you could tell, oh, this is going to be very bad.
Bills go down, make it look pretty easy. Josh Allen, by the way, he is MVP
playing out of his
right
mind.
Now. I love Patrick Mahomes. Big sample size wise, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes every time. But as of today, this season, it is Josh Allen's world right now. So all the credit in the world to him. Also to Joe Brady, his offensive coordinator, because that is a perfect marriage, I think, in a lot of ways. Because if you remember Joe Brady at LSU with Joe Burrow in 2019, historic season, those two collabed on. Brady has a lot of good stuff in that offense for a guy like Josh Allen, Joe Burrow before him. So credit where credit is due. But yes, with the easy work in which the Bills made of the Jaguars defense, Jags come out in that man for man. They're going to play man coverage, even without Tyson Campbell, going to play man coverage. And Joe Brady had something for it immediately, running the wheel, the rail, to James Cook out of the backfield. And from that point forward, it was totally on your heels for the rest of the night. Bills are playing excellent football. Jags, not so much. So what do you take away from this? What's the confidence level? Is there a confidence level for you, Ev, as we look ahead to Houston for the Jags on Sunday?
It's in the basement. I mean, it's, it might even be in the groundwork, in the foundation underneath it. The confidence level is zero. Especially, against a Houston team that while coming off a bad loss is moving in a completely different direction, just overall this season. I just don't see how you look at this Jaguars team and you look at these injuries that we're about to talk about here in a few minutes and think that this is a team that's going to go into Houston and win this weekend.
But Evan, the Texans have injuries of their own, you know? I mean, probably without Tank Dell, right? At the wide receiver position. I'm thrilled to think that, you know, I don't like to see anybody hurt, but I have nightmares about Joe Mixon running against this Jaguar defense. So, hey, maybe he's going to be out as well. This Texans offensive line maybe hasn't lived up to its billing to this point. Laremy Tunsil had some serious penalty issues just last week. Hey, Texans were drubbed themselves last week in Minneapolis by the surging Sam Darnold-led Vikings. Ev, all of these things that would seem to point towards some positivity to counter those injuries that we're looking at right now between Evan Ingram, didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday with that hamstring. And you get into Tank Bigsby, both the offensive tackles, Foye Oluokun. Your two starting inside linebackers are on this report. And so you would think there would at least be a tinge of confidence. But, you know, we've already had this sort of buildup before, haven't we? We had this with Cleveland and then what happened on the Jags home field.
Yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, a far worse roster too, and arguably, you know, coaching staff in Cleveland, and the Jags didn't show up for that either. Here's the thing, is it's not about talent level or even anything like that. It's, are the Jaguars going to show up for the first time since week one? Week one, they show up, but they take a haymaker, they take a punch in the mouth, and they haven't gotten up off the ground yet. Like, they are just getting pummeled. And that's my issue, is not that, you know, oh, well, there's all these different things that could go right or go wrong. I think, you know, we talk about Tank Dell being out. You know, Nico Collins is also questionable, probably going to play. I don't think either of them have to play for them to beat the Jaguars. No. I think they could run out Robert Woods and John Metchie and Stephon Diggs, which is a pretty solid group. That's
still
not
a good three. Yeah.
That's not a bad three if that's your backup three. Because, you know, the Jaguars' secondary right now is just, you know, it's butter. You know, you're going to cut right through it. You know, I personally,
and a part of that too is you're not getting pressure on quarterbacks, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've paid a big price thinking that's what you were going to get.
Absolutely. And, so, you know, if the defense isn't showing up, the offense sure hasn't shown up. You know, it's a weird thing right now because I think a lot of people are still pretty focused on the offense, but after Monday, I mean, that is like the defense is now a red brutalized flag as well. Like, it's not a yellow flag, it's a red flag. We've got two red flags. So, I mean, that's my thing, is I just don't see this team really trying. Like, that sounds bad. It's not, I know they're trying, but like, everything about Monday screamed to me a roster that was done with its coaching staff, with how things are being ran. So if that's where we're at, like, I don't know why they would show up this week.
I agree. I don't think it's so much that it's effortless what we're seeing from this team. I think it's identityless. If that's a word, from this team, who are the Jags, you know, in any area of this football team right now, offensively, defensively, where are the Jags of playoff caliber? Where would you point to right now? Offense, defense, secondary, they're not. They're certainly not without Tyson Campbell back there.
Yeah.
Linebacker level, close, I think, with a healthy Foye and Devin Lloyd. They're fringe, at least, playoff caliber. Up front, they should be. I mean, you look at the names with that defensive line, I really thought that was going to be, if there was one area of this football team I thought you were going to be able to point to and say, that's where it really starts, even more so than Trevor, was going to be that defensive line, especially the two edge guys, and you add Eric Armstead to that. I don't need to see any more of Eric Armstead at defensive end, by the way. He's a defensive tackle, and if you don't have a third end, well, that's a problem, but Armstead isn't it either. The offensive line certainly isn't of playoff caliber. Wide receivers to this point haven't really been consistent enough to be considered in that regard. Running back, one of the biggest things that puts you in this spiral, as you said, that you haven't recovered from, is a fumble by your lead back and an opportunity to really close out a game in the opener in Miami. Quarterback, to me, hasn't been playoff caliber at all.
Nowhere close.
I know we look for a lot of things to point out with Trevor, and you know, we do it with other quarterbacks too, Bryce Young in Carolina. Bryce Young's got far more valid excuses up there. I know Andy Dalton lit it up last week, whatever. But Trevor's year four.
Yeah.
You know, and you just paid him like he's a top 10 guy, which means if everything isn't perfect around him, he should be of that level where he covers for deficiencies in other areas of your football team. I'm not seeing that, Evan, at the quarterback position.
No, I mean, that's, you know, Trevor is the main talking point of all of this because he's the face of the team, you know, all this different stuff. But, you know, it's even like we thought, you know, I think when they paid him, it's like, okay, he's not always going to be, you know, running the show. He hasn't. His entire Jaguars career, he's only had really like a 6-game stretch in 2022, where he was playing at like a pretty elite level. You know what I mean? Since then, I haven't seen it. And even, you know, he seems devoid of confidence. You know, we talk about confidence, we talk about whatever. When you've been looking at these, you know, these press conferences, these like media appearances this week, I mean, the dude just seems deflated. Like he just seems like he doesn't have anything to offer. And like you said, he's supposed to be your leader. So if this guy isn't galvanizing anyone, if he's not picking anybody up, even if it's not in terms of play, even if you're not playing your best and you're not like giving other dudes a chance to play their best, at least mentality wise, you want to see, you know, some fire, some something.
Some accountability, and then also demanding accountability from your teammates in a way that resonates. That's respected. Doesn't mean you need to be in there every day. Come on, guys, you know, rah-rah and all that, because these guys are going to sniff that out and go, yeah, this guy ain't it. But you also need to have a presence about yourself, or you need to play at such a high level that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case either way in terms of Trevor Lawrence to this point of his Jaguars tenure. So, again, you think about the direction of this offense. I know last week I got laughed at a little bit. I got laughed at a little bit, Ev, when I said time to tighten up. And I don't mean tighten. I mean Tennessee tighten up. And Ryan Tannehill, this thing, I'm at the point where I know you can't do certain things in season, okay? But when you think about upcoming off seasons, I'm not writing off the rest of the season at this point. But if you really want to maximize, in my opinion, Trevor Lawrence in this offense, because you know he's here, he's in Jacksonville for the foreseeable future, or at least it appears that way, you're going to have to build around him in a way that will help him have success, because he's not going to be a helper in other areas where maybe you're not quite as good as you'd like to be.
No, I mean, it's, you know, this is, you know, potentially, honestly, 2 years is probably the soonest they could somehow get out of this. Probably more like 3 based on how the extension actually works, because Trevor is like technically under contract for like 7 years. Like this isn't the extension is an add-on.
Where it wouldn't kill you financially or with the cap, right?
Right. Where you're not just like burning $45 million, $50 million or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good. They got to find a way, whether, you know, like you were kind of saying, you know, take the, at this point, just say, okay, well, we're going to throw it 20 times a game. Even if we're unless we're down by 2 scores in the second half, we are not going to throw the ball.
More Bigsby, more pounding the rock, making life easier for a mid to subpar offensive line. Protection magically becomes better if you're able to do that. You put less on Trevor down in and down out. I don't have anything else, Ev. I don't know where else to go.
It's definitely the right move, but I mean, you did say that, you know, this is better suited to a mediocre offensive line. You know, I'm still worried about that because I just, you know, I mean, it's just tough to find points of optimism right now, really, like on the offense. you know, I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. has played well, I would say, to start his Jaguars career.
Who's the Jags MVP on offense?
Offense? I mean, yeah, I guess I honest to God, it's probably in terms of like if you're asking a fantasy player, they're still going to say ETN because he's getting all the BS fantasy numbers or whatever, but it's not him. I'd honestly say the most impressive player on the offense right now is BTJ. I mean, really. Like, he's the only guy.
I know
guy
PFF
that
loves Mitch Morse. He apparently is graded out well. I'm not a big PFF fan, and especially when it comes to offensive line play, because to me it's impossible sitting on your couch to evaluate offensive linemen when you don't know the calls, you don't know the schemes, you don't know the checks. But just, again, from a conversation perspective, Morse is being recognized as playing well. I don't know if you can pick anybody, though, from that offensive line.
No, I mean, Scherf has been bad. Anton Harrison has been very bad. And Cam Robinson was probably the worst player on the field on Monday. I hate saying that, but Cam allowed, like, I think it was like six pressures or something like that.
Come with Walker Little. People are asking, Ev, about Walker Little. And understanding you do this in game, but no, he's the third tackle. He's preparing, or is supposed to be preparing, or being prepared as if he'll play in the game. So I can't even really give him that benefit of the doubt for being thrown in there and then having his issues as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they really, really kind of rested on their laurels in terms of the tackle spot this offseason. You know, they kind of said, okay, well, you know, Cam is the guy we paid, the veteran. You know, he's been around. He ought to be solid game to game. And Anton Harrison showed some good things last year. So, you know, ideally he takes a step forward. So far that hasn't happened. Walker Little hasn't taken the step forward that we've kind of been waiting on since we drafted him years ago. They're in a spot where it's like, you know, pick your poison. You know, who do you want to go out there and, you know, you throw the dice to see if they're going to be able to, you know, block this edge rusher display or what have you.
There was supposed to be a legitimate competition in training camp, right?
That's what I thought.
Going out there as much as I did and watching probably 10 practices, I never saw any indication that there was any kind of competition.
Right.
It was always Cam. It was always Anton. And I'm still a believer in Anton Harrison because he is a year two guy. I thought this would be a big step forward year for him. I think he's still going to be a really good player, but it hasn't gotten off to that start. And it all kind of takes you back to the preparation for this team, even back in training camp. You know, there were guys that had some bumps and bruises and some minor issues, and they were sort of eased through camp, through preseason games. And now I'm kind of thinking back and wondering, you know, some of these guys, maybe you got to push them through stuff and get them on the field and sort of callous them in a way that when adversity hits, you know, they don't go fetal. They don't fold up like we've seen this team through three games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's almost at a point where you're wondering, you know, obviously if Javon Foster was ready to go out there, they'd put him out there, but he's not. So,
but at the same time,
it's just like, okay, well, I mean, if that's the situation, then you're just
like Cooper Hodges at guard for Brandon Scherff. I hear people talk about get Hodges. What I saw from Cooper Hodges in the preseason, and again, he's coming off a serious injury, so I'm not shutting him down entirely. He wasn't that guy either, at least in training camp, he wasn't. So there's just not a quick fix, I don't think, here.
Unless you go into, you know, free agency, see if there's anybody out there that could potentially help you or make a trade, which the Jaguars are not, like, under Balke especially, they don't really do that. Like, you go sign guys in free agency to deal with injury and whatever because you have to, but it's not like the, you know, Jags are making a lot of midseason trades and, you know, years past or anything. So, I would love to see that because that would just tell me that Balke thinks he's going to lose his job if he doesn't, you know.
I guess the other side of that is once the season starts, if there's guys on the street, if they were that good, they wouldn't be on the street, you know. Yeah,
exactly. Now,
you know, just in terms of just bringing in guys that route. But defensively, who's the MVP of this team through three games?
I mean, I don't know. I think it was – it was kind of a Lillikon, you know, but even he wasn't exactly, you know, his like absolute best or whatever. You know, it's really tough. Like I can pick bright spots, but I don't feel like
consistently
anybody who's deserving of MVP on either side. Like the term MVP, if you want to say bright spots, like, you know, I would say Jarian Jones, you know, overall lots of good things we're seeing. Definitely has a knack for it. Definitely not afraid to get out there and make plays. But you know, it's tough.
Cisco, maybe. I don't.
Yeah, Cisco's played well, but I mean, he's in a
spot giving up where, some too. Yeah,
he's in a spot where even if you're playing well, like there's only so much you can do from where he's at. So, safety. And you know, he's also having to cover a lot of, I'm not sure what's up, but Antonio Johnson has had a very tough start to the year. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. And you know, all it takes is one game to kind of right the ship, to at least feel a bit different. You know, if they go into Houston, you know, and they win, then, you know, we'll calm down, or I'll calm down. You're calm, but I'm not. But you, until that happens, I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse. And honestly, I don't know. Something I didn't want to hear this week, when Doug went up there on the podium, I think he's right, but he went up there and he was like, no, like, I'm not giving like a pep talk to the team or whatever. Like, at some point you have to go play. Like, we've talked enough. Like, you got to go play and you got to go coach. To me, that comes off as like, yeah, man, it is what it is. Like, that, it didn't come off as like, oh, you have to, you know, we just have to be tough and just power through it and just play football or whatever. It just kind of tells me, it comes off as, you know, I told them they should play better.
Well, like, I mean, it is professional football. So it's kind of expected that you're going to bring it. It is your job. It is your livelihood. That being said, we know that when the best coaches out there have needed to go that route in terms of motivating their players, they've had that in the tank or a willingness to at least try in that regard. And that's, from a fan perspective, absolutely, I get it. That's something you don't want to hear. But, you know, I think there's also the belief that you've got talented guys on this roster, like you said earlier, but I'm not sure your most talented guys are actually dudes. In other words, when the stuff gets thick, they're able to kind of pick up their teammates, and not just in the way that they play, but their presence and, you know, the things they say, how they say them, when they say them, a lot of times is more important than what they say. They have that about them. I just don't see it with this Jaguars team right now.
What's your score prediction for the game?
For Houston? I still go back to, I was dead wrong about this with Buffalo. I still think this is going to be a competitive game.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it's a touchdown to a field goal, something like that. Maybe it gets to 10.
Yeah.
I obviously am going to pick Houston, but I'll say this. Houston hasn't been the world beater. The Texans haven't been the world beater that a lot of people forecasted. Now, look, you'll take their record right now if you're a Jaguar fan every day of the week. But again, they are coming off a pantsing at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings. You know, I don't think it's unimaginable to think the Jags can go out there and win, but I'm very much in that camp. You're going to have to show me. I'm going to have to see it before I believe it moving forward. What about you?
31-17 Texans.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, like, that's a huge, you know, defeat, you know, in NFL standards, two scores. But right now, I mean, I think I would bet on the Texans scoring at least three touchdowns, if not four. Mm. Like, I think that's like probably the most likely scenario. And the Jaguars haven't scored multiple touchdowns since week one.
What about this narrative that this, even with the Texans included, this is a four-game stretch coming up starting this week where the Jaguars can kind of right the ship a little bit.
Right.
Maybe not so much in Houston this week, but Indianapolis on the horizon in Jacksonville. Then you go to London with the Bears and the Pats. Even if you start 0-4, looking at those next three games, thinking, hey, could come back from Britain 3-4 with a chance maybe to find themselves a little bit and go on a run. Are you buying any of that rhetoric at this point?
I think they definitely get their first win of the season in that three-game stretch following Houston. I'm not sure to who. It could absolutely be Indy. I mean, the track record, historically speaking, versus Indy is fantastic in Jacksonville. But if it's not them, I mean, really, Chicago screams, you know, a team that you can definitely beat. That defense is very good, but the offense
is... You may not be able to score much on the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is very good, but if you can run the ball, you can beat the Bears. And if the Jaguars can, you know, maybe get something going, what we're talking about of trying to run the ball more, they can kind of get going in that regard. I think they would do well. And then New England is very beatable too. They're all beatable teams. And even if you start 0-4, you could, you know, bounce back with three straight wins. Like, that's very much on the table. Now, you know, is bouncing back with three straight wins great? Yeah, that's awesome. We'd love to see that. But do I think, you know, that's going to make me feel better about this team?
Big picture.
I mean, not really. In fact, like, I don't know. Like, I think there needs to be an exclamation point. If there isn't already on this message, when Shad Khan sees it, you know what I mean? Like, he needs, like, there shouldn't be, you know, I don't, it would be very lame for the Jaguars to scrape out like an 8-9 season and they don't fire anybody or they don't make
it like a fantasy league stats. You know what I mean? You start a game down 21-0, then your quarterback throws for 406 yards and 4 TDs.
Yeah, exactly. Garbage time.
You still lost by 28. You know, when it came down to it, when the game was, when the season was really on the line,
you didn't
when history tells us that if you do this in the first three or four games, you are not going to make the NFL playoffs.
Right.
And then you end up not making the NFL playoffs because of that kind of start. Sure. You know, the problem with thinking that, well, Colts, Bears, Patriots, winnable games. You know what the Colts, Bears and Patriots are thinking right now when they look at the Jags?
Same thing.
We can beat those guys.
Yeah.
So it, to me, it's like, no, this isn't that Jaguar team. It's the Jaguar team we thought we were going to get just a month ago. But at this point, this has not been that Jaguar team. So that food chain where, you know, the animals or whatever kind of look at each other as, hey, I'll eat you. No. They're looking at you as, no, I'll eat you right now with these type of games coming up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a get right game for everyone, you know, and the worst part about that is that it can't be a get right game for everyone. So, you know, I mean, if they lose to Houston and then come back and lose at home to Indy, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, you're 0-5, like it's a complete and utter disaster. So there's pressure in every, I mean, it's already, you know, like it's all relative, but or it feels like a disaster. That would be truly catastrophic right before the London trip, especially. Which speaking of which, with the Colts game, if you're at home, you don't get to go to a lot of Jags games. $25 get in price so,
right now for Jags for Colts.
Probably gonna drop. So
what could become known as the Anthony Richardson game?
Yeah, the Anthony Richardson debut game, the come out game. And then also look down the road, December 29th, $16 get-in price for Jags Titans in Jacksonville.
There might be
30 people at that game. If the season goes the way it's going right now, Tennessee's not coming down. And no one's going to want to go. It's going to be right after Christmas, right before New Year's.
Yeah.
There might be, you know, like I said, 500 people at that game.
It could always be worse. You could have Will.
Oh, dude, it's you know, I'm trying. I know I've been just like so pessimistic and blue this episode, but it's just it's hard to find spots to not feel that way for me right now. You know, especially after all the talk, after all the different, you know, whatever. If we had just shut our mouths or whatever, if Shad Khan and different people had just said, yeah, you know, we're trying. We like the squad we have, you know, and we're going to see what happens. Then, you know, I think I'd probably feel differently. Other people might too. But instead, we were told that this was going to be a very important year for the Jaguars, a, you know, maybe franchise defining season. Mm-hmm. And it's defining something.
I'm going to give you some good news, though. I'm going to give you some good news coming out of that Bills loss. Cam Little had a 40-plus yard field goal. And what that means in the 6 days following that, whenever that happens, the Jags kick a 40-yard field goal, half-off subs at Firehouse. In Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
And so I enjoyed that today.
Yeah. I wish I had a Firehouse. Like, the closest one's like 20
And we're
minutes.
Not even sponsored. And I'm
Hey, I'll plug a Firehouse anytime, though. I'm a former employee, a proud alumni of the Firehouse family.
Stockholder.
Yeah. Still got my 401k. Haven't transferred it over. Or my Larry's Giant Subs 401k. A big one. That is great. You know, Cam Little, that's the MVP of this team right now.
That you noticed earlier, I didn't say special teams when I talked about
no criticism
offense, defense, Logan playoff caliber. Logan Cook's playoff caliber, punting it. Cam Little, I think, is playoff caliber. They snap it at a playoff caliber. So how about that positivity?
Absolutely. If we are, you know, like, don't say we don't have a chance. Because we got a good punter and a good kicker. We'll just, you know, we'll win games.
Six field goals Sunday.
Yeah, if we can, if Cam Little kicks six field goals, you know, you can win that game.
And get the half off.
And,
Firehouse. And then, keep them coming, jeez. Cam.
They also would
hook and ladder me, Cam. Hook and ladder me, baby.
Ugh, man, what a time! anything else?
That's it, man. I think we're good here. On to Houston for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Evan Ryer, the well-traveled one after last weekend.
Oh yeah, jeez.
And that traumatizing experience.
Absolutely.
Up in Western New York.
To say real quick, on stuff that matters, well wishes and good luck and all that stuff to everybody dealing with Helene right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to see being up in Alabama. I'm missing it, you know, we're fortunate. But to everybody, especially on the Gulf Coast and stuff, that's a rough one. So
no doubt.
Wishing the best to everybody.
Echo, ditto right there with those sentiments from Evan Ryer. Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube for No Sleep Teal. If you haven't subscribed to our channel as of yet, please hit that subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. Hit that notification bell right there. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And if you would hit us with a thumbs up, a like, that would help us out tremendously too. So for Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanks once again. Until next time, so long, everybody.